This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Greetings and welcome back to another episode of the Galaxy Wars podcast with your hosts, Jim and Tom. And this episode is going to be jam-packed with news because Disney came out and they said, Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah. Here's your bag of goodies for the next 5 years. And it impacts us because as movie reviewers and television show reviewers and geeks, we are going to need to talk about that. But the
most important
and the meat and potatoes of the episode will be Blumhouse's latest venture into horror and body swapping horror, Freaky, starring Catherine Newton and Vince Vaughn. But we'll get into that in a little bit. So I did a whole episode that's out now. It was a special episode on Active Geek of covering all of this stuff. Almost 2 hours. We broke down everything. With this, we're going to talk about the heavy-hitting stuff. And I'd like to start with the Marvel stuff because you and I have been petitioning for this character forever.
Yep.
And Score the God Butcher, he's coming to Thor Love and Thunder. We knew this was going to happen. Well, we hope this was going to happen, and they finally confirmed that Christian Bale is going to play him. What's your reaction to Gore coming to Thor?
It's the biggest news that they've come out with yet. I don't know how many people. Gore's pretty obscure, but he's important in a lot of ways. And I don't know how they're going to make it work. I don't know if we're going to. Are we going to get God Butcher? I mean, those words going
to
be spoken?
I feel like we have to.
Yeah, I mean, that's all he is. Are we going to see where the Necro Sword comes from? Okay, let me answer your question by saying I think it's I can't wait for it. So we've been talking about this for years. On and off podcast, this was, I think, probably our... I know you've been talking about it like it could happen. I never thought it could.
Yeah, he was my only destination in the next Thor movie was Gore the God Butcher.
Yeah, it's the best story that they've put out in a long time in the comic books. You were sure of it. I thought there was no chance that we were ever getting a God. And I wanted God Butcher, but I didn't think. I just didn't know how they were going to do it. I still don't know how they're going to do it, and I've been thinking about it a lot. But, yeah, this is huge. I think it's bigger than anybody realizes, but because I think this leads to, obviously, huge things. I think it leads to Null. It leads to symbiote crossovers. Mm-hmm. Null's huge, and it's the biggest storyline they're doing right now. I think that's a smart thing. I think this is a big plan by Marvel. Putting out Null's story in the comic books now. The King in Black or whatever it is. And having the Gore come out. And Gore gets his power basically from Null. So I think that's important to bring Null into the universe. And Null could easily be the big baddie for the next phase. It could easily... Yep.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, with all of Sony's kind of meddling, getting literally everybody in the new Spider-Man movie. I heard a rumor that Tom Holland's got a cameo in Spider-Man 3, given all the characters that they're bringing into this. I think it's super important that Gore's in this and we get All Black, the Necro Sword, and they say they don't even have to mention Null's name, but if they allude to him, they can call him a Celestial Killer. The founder of, he's the reason why Nowhere is Nowhere. Maybe like a silhouette, kind of like what we were talking about with Mandalorian, with Thrawn. I would like to see that. And then further down the line, like you said, with King in Black setting up all of the Null stuff now in the comics, they can just translate that. Because I can tell you, man, King in Black number one is amazing.
Yeah.
They brought in a hero that I haven't seen in the comics in quite some time. And they just showed how powerful Null is and just like wasted this character. So it sets up a lot. It's huge. And then you have Christian Bale, who I had told Chuck, I want the Welsh accent. I want Gore to be Welsh.
Well, I was going to ask you, how do you think they have him play Gore? Do they is he prosthetics?
I hope it's prosthetics. I don't want it to be CGI because.
Well, no, okay, that's what I meant to say. Is yes, I hope prosthetics too. But I mean, they don't try to humanize Gore, right?
No. This has to be your villain. This is this is Surtur. This is Malekith. These are bad guys. This isn't This isn't, you know, the Winter Soldier where you turn him into a good guy. This isn't Loki where he's redeemed at the end. This is, he's a god butcher. There's a reason why he's got that name. There's a reason why he's coming to, whether it's New Asgard, whether it's Midgard, whether it's going after against Odin's son, or if it's going after against Jane Foster. There's a reason why. He's just coming to kill them. It's not like Gore the Cuddlebug. Like, that's not his name. Like, he's a bad guy. He's not, you can't, in my mind, you can't humanize him.
Yeah, no. Well, he's this, you know, he comes from a planet, like, where his population is dead, and he's an alien, so it's important that he looks the part. And what I like about this, you know, I don't know when, we should definitely hit on Gore and talk about him at some point, but Gore's, that's his only, the God Butcher is his name, because that's all he wants to do. He doesn't kill billions and billions of people. He kills gods, and that's all he kills. It's all he cares about. He doesn't care about humans. He doesn't care about, he kills gods and anybody that gets in the way of him killing gods, and that's it. So yep. I think that's a great storyline. It gives us a chance to see Thor be a god, and like amongst his peers, you know, like, because they had to sort of depower him to have him play with the Avengers on Earth against Thanos, but he's going to be going against, you know, a god fighting a guy who kills gods. So yeah, at some point, we think that's what's going to happen. So
yeah, I mean, and it's huge. And I think we have two Celestials, or I think there's only one Celestial. No, there's two. There's two Celestials in the MCU's timeline currently, with the Grandmaster and the Collector. So maybe we see the demise of those two.
Those two are Eternals, right?
Oh, now I'm getting them confused.
They're champions of the universe.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting confused. And then we have, they retconned Ego into a Celestial.
Okay, yeah.
And we have Nowhere, who's a Celestial's head. Mm-hmm. And then we have, they show us the Celestial with the Power Stone.
Yeah, the so big galactic-looking being. Okay, so Eternals, Celestials. I got to remember that for when I start talking. But this is huge, man. I'm excited. And I don't think that Christian Bale has to get buff for this. I don't think that he has to get skinny for this. Like, we don't need Batman Bale, and we don't need Machinist Bale. We can just get, we don't need American Vice Bale or American Hustle Bale. We don't need those.
No, he doesn't need to. It's a thing he likes to do, but I mean, there's an emaciated, you know, Gore when in the first issue when he's on his planet and his wife and his kids die. Spoiler. He's kind of thin, and I but like, again, he's going to be an alien. He's got like the dog ears, and he's going to be like dressed in black cloaks. So I think Christian Bale could, save himself from putting all the stuff on, hopefully.
Yeah, and I hope he's just regular sized, because I don't want him to be like Korg, where he's 9 feet tall and he's CGI. Like, I feel like the right approach for Gore is to make him kind of resemble Malekith a little bit in terms of the practicality of Malekith's, you know, costume and prosthetics. I'm really excited for that. That was honestly the biggest news. And I know they announced Fantastic Four and Ironheart, Secret Invasion, Armor Wars, all this stuff. Of all the series that were launched, what was big to you?
Fantastic Four, but Ironheart's huge for me. Because we didn't know how they were continuing. I didn't know how they were continuing that storyline. We had talked about Riri Williams coming in, but I don't know if that's who they're going to have. They should definitely have.
They are, and it's casted.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, Dominique Thorne. She has one billing to this date, and it's If Beale Street Could Talk.
Okay. Is Robert Downey Jr. getting going to show up just to pass the torch, or
no mention whatsoever of Robert Downey Jr.
I guess it's going to be Favreau.
Happy.
Yeah. Happy. Maybe showing up and or going someplace and, you know, she infiltrates whatever. However she winds up learning about the Iron Man armor. But so that's not too. We'll figure that out later. But that was a big one for me. I was kind of unsuspected. I didn't. They do this thing, man. They throw these like they wait. This is what Warner Brothers should, and we've been talking about it. This is what Warner Brothers should always have done. Is wait until your timeline is cemented. Like, and they come out and do this and say, look, you know, basically they're saying, mea culpa, we know what we did. We know we're missing timelines. And I don't think Disney likes missing their timeline, but they're saying, here's what we're going to do. And they're giving us so much information that, you know, we have to go see it. We have to pay attention now. So,
yeah. And on a whole different kind of level, they're showing you that while we're getting familiar characters getting their series like Hawkeye and Captain America, Winter Soldier, and all that, they're also casting their replacements. So we obviously knew about Anthony Mackie becoming Cap. Then they throw Kate Bishop in Hawkeye. Yelena's going to show up in Hawkeye, making her the new Black Widow. They brought in, Miss America is going to be in it. They have Ironheart now. Everybody's getting their replacements built, and She-Hulk was confirmed. Like, they're bringing all these characters into the foil and saying, well, we've got the next set of the Avengers, and if Captain Marvel can't be there, well, we've got Miss Marvel, and she's gonna go and do what she needs to do. So they're I've said it a lot lately, but it's chess versus checkers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All these other studios are playing checkers, and Disney and Marvel are like, well, here's chess.
Yeah, it sure feels like that. It's stuff that we are looking forward to, and the best the other companies are saying is, look, here's what, you know, we have plans in the works.
Yeah.
Disney doesn't talk about anything until it's in paper. Like they're not giving you, they're personally not giving you any information from the company until it's concrete.
Yep.
It's written in stone.
Yeah, it's like when they casted Blade at San Diego Comic or D23. They said, well, we've got Blade. Here we go. And it's – Chuck and I talked about this. Fantastic Four, they came out and they announced that last. But right before that, they said, we're working on Blade. Mahershala Ali is still there. We don't have a director. We don't have a writer. But we do have a family coming with the Fantastic Four, and they already have a director with John Watts who did the first two Spider-Men. So – They're shifting their focus on what IP they're acquiring and pushing forward with that. It's crazy what they're doing. Like they're giving you all this content and they're saying, you know, we're gonna hold ourselves to our word when we say these characters are gonna cross over in the movies. And then they go, well, Iman Vellani, who is getting her first shot in acting on a Disney Plus series where she's the lead as Miss Marvel, is going to be in Captain Marvel 2, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's nuts. There's so many things that are going on. It's hard to with them. It's they're going to be taking all our money.
Yeah,
we're discussing how they're going to do it. And I heard people talking about Marvel saying they released these movies and they called them blockbusters and they inflated the market. Like they falsely inflated the market for movie theater, saying, look, movies aren't as big as Marvel movies make the movies. You know, like, people only want to see Marvel movies, and they're kind of going and seeing other stuff, which is, you know, people kind of are feasting on the, you know, the secondhand stuff. And that's kind of true. Like, now with all this, you know, and it's at a time where people are kind of like, it's kind of shitty what they're doing to the theaters and to, you know, Warner Brothers is kind of taking a beating because people are like, you know, you're going to kill a theater.
Yeah.
And here comes Marvel swooping in, saving a day like a superhero. They think they are and saying, look, no, we're going to give you, look at all the movies that we got coming out for you.
Yeah.
And they're movies. They're going to be in theaters.
Yeah. Black Widow is still going to the theaters in May. It got a year delay, like a full year delay. It should have, like, that's a movie I thought should have been Disney Plus premiere access, but they're like, no, it belongs on the screen.
Yep. And I see both points and I'm happy because it kind of sucks. I had to go get HBO, but, you know, I see their point in saying, you know, here's a movie for theaters. I want you to see it in the theater before we give it to you on our platform. Here's, you know, and that's not what they've always done. Obviously with Mulan and stuff, they could do that and they could charge us extra, which sucks, but, they want them in theaters. They want you to go see them. The series that they're putting out is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's really going to, everything they put out between Star Wars and Marvel has made the Disney Plus app a quality app, much more quality app than it has been for a while. So,
yeah, and it's kind of apropos that we're talking the Marvel stuff and we're reviewing Freaky because Catherine Newton, the lead in this, was casted in a Marvel movie. She was just recently casted as Cassie Lang. She replaced Aaron Furman. So they're saying, like, listen, we understand what's going on. We're watching these movies that are making money, and we're taking stars that are out there performing, getting an audience, a much bigger audience now, because everybody, like, this is the only Freaky. It was the only good movie that was released around Halloween. You know, we've reviewed a few, and, you know, Jiu-Jitsu was released around the same, like, Thanksgiving. But, like, this is one of those ones that, like, came out of nowhere, and they said, all right, we're going to swoop her up and pick her up, put her in the movies, and it works. And I think she looks like Cassie Lang, whether she's going to be Stature or she's going to be Stinger. But we'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Marvel comes in, swoops in like a superhero, like you said, but not to be outdone, Star Wars comes in and says, we've got 10 properties coming out too. You know, we finally got the Ahsoka confirmation, which was huge. New Rangers of the New Republic, another new series that's going to be coming to Disney Plus. Obi-Wan, but with the caveat that Darth Vader's going to show up in it.
That's big.
Yeah, and it kind of rattled Chuck on our episode. He's like, I don't understand. he's like, I'm happy, but I don't understand how they're going to coexist. And I read an article after we recorded that said Obi and Darth will, in fact, meet again in this timeline. So it's tying up. It's going to cause issues with Star Wars fans saying, like, oh, they haven't met since A New Hope. Now they've met.
Yeah, yeah. He says it. They have never met. Also, we have to, in the timeline, we have to, in 10 years, he has to go looking like...
Oh, God, he's got to age 70 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to, midway through the season, he's going to be recasted by Ian McKellen. Like, he's going to be, like, we're going to have Sir Ian McKellen just running around Tatooine. Like, is this what I'm supposed to do? He's trying to control everything with, thinking it's a metal. What was some of the stuff that stuck out for you with the Star Wars stuff, the reveals?
Ahsoka's huge. We've been waiting for that. I was just looking at it.
Rangers of the New Republic and then Patty
Rangers. I don't even know what that is.
I think it's a Cara Dune series.
Oh, really?
I think it's Cara Dune, Filoni's character, the other X-Wing pilots. I think it's live PD in space.
Okay, so it's kind of the new Republic, the New Republic stuff, I guess, right? Okay.
And I think, you know, spoiler alerts for the last Mandalorian episode, I think Fennec is going to carry over to that series as well.
Okay.
I mean, if it's a Cara Dune based series, the relationship between, not like the relationship, but like the on-screen chemistry and what they were like leaning towards between those two looks like they're going to just carry over to something new.
Okay.
So
Rogue Squadron.
Huge.
That's a big one. Huge
news. Patty Jenkins directing a Star Wars movie. Do you think Gal Gadot shows up? Because that's the big talk. Like,
yeah,
they're in three movies together.
I wouldn't mind it. Neither. Yeah. You know, can't get enough of Gal Gadot. So, that's a big one for me. I know it's not the series, but we'll see.
Yeah, I, the Acolyte's also kind of intriguing to me because it's a High Republic dark side. And I think that that's huge. It's something that we haven't seen before, a focus on a bad guy, a focus on Sith.
Yeah.
I was saying before, like, I don't know much about the High Republic, and I know they're really pushing it. So I'm going to have to brush up on that. Because when I heard it was the Acolyte, and I didn't even listen to what they were saying, I was like, all right, Kathleen Kennedy, say the show, and I'll go from there. I thought we were getting Reavan. I thought we were going to get Malak. And then they're like, it's High Republic. And I'm like, I don't think that that's who we're going to get.
Yeah.
Now, that's Old Republic.
Yeah, the old stuff, especially from the game. And you got Treya, who tries to break the Force, all that stuff. I wouldn't mind the Old Republic stuff, but I'm not sure how much of that's canon now.
I don't think any of it is.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't ever know what's canon in the video games and the Old Republic stuff. So, but at this point, they could just go, you know, this is canon, that's canon. They don't have to. I mean, they don't have to stick to their guns about these. You know, like
Lucas. They can start bringing stuff in.
Yeah, I mean they are. They are doing that now, so we'll see.
Yeah, and the Rogue Squadron stuff is crazy because it's set in the Skywalker trilogy because it's, you know, Luke Skywalker starts it. I'm curious to see if we see, you know, flashbacks to returning characters, if Porkins shows up. Maybe this is the inclusion of Mara Jade and we bring her into this. I know she doesn't really resemble her, but if Gal Gadot is going to be in it, maybe Gal Gadot could be Mara Jade, and that leads into... Not? You know, huge actress onto a very popular Star Wars character. I'd be pumped for that. The last thing that kind of got me super excited was Lightyear with Chris Evans playing Buzz Lightyear. I thought it was fantastic. He's slowly checking off all the boxes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just needs to get a Star Wars role and then we're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting closer, closer and closer. So.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I was surprised that he is returning to acting. I thought he was going to start pursuing politics, and I know he said that he's not ruling that out, but I thought that's what was going to happen.
This time, you could do both, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing saying you can't, you know, try one thing or try the other thing and stick to both of them, so we'll see.
Yeah, and you talked about this on Twitter a while ago, the Ryan Gosling, Chris Evans movie, which is going to cause a lot of divorces. Well, they decided to do a smart move and cast somebody for the guys, and they casted Ana de Armas in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to watch this movie 100%. Mainly, I was going to watch it to begin with because Chris Evans is in it, but I think she's fantastic. So yeah, I'm very excited that they threw her in there. But it's a good day to be a geek. It's a good weekend.
Yeah, it was a good week.
It's just not for our wallets. It's going to be like the network's going to have to pull together and like start making a – we're going to have to launch the Patreon early for all this streaming content. We're not even going to generate any money. But I'm excited, man.
And we're going to have to be like paying for one ticket and like holding the door open, letting guys into the theater.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know how else we're going to watch all these movies.
Yeah, it's gonna impact our show, but we'll succeed. We'll see what we're doing. Let's talk a movie, because this was a movie that as soon as I saw the trailer, I immediately wanted to see. I thought it was I thought it looked fantastic. It was fun comedy horror, and then you know you bring back somebody who hasn't been in acting for a while, and Vince Vaughn, which was fantastic. And this is a Blumhouse movie, and big shout out to Jason Blum, hoping he's recovering from his battle with COVID, because we need more of these movies and we need him in charge. This is freaky. We're going to talk about it. We're going to spoil it, so you've been warned. And this is the official synopsis. After swapping bodies with a deranged serial killer, a young girl in high school discovers she has less than 24 hours before the change becomes permanent And like I said, it stars Vince Vaughn, Catherine Newton, and a bunch of up-and-coming actors and actresses who really, really did fantastic. I'm a big fan of this movie.
Yeah. For a little bit, I mean, it's basically a Freaky Friday or what was the one before that a long time ago, whatever. But reimagined as a slasher, but it's not even really a slasher. It's kind of, I mean, it has its moments.
Uh-huh.
It's got two good moments as a slasher, but it's more, it's definitely more of a thriller, a comedy thriller.
Yeah.
Which I'm a big fan of those. And like Tucker and Dale, I like when, and Vince Vaughn's funny, I think he's fallen off a lot of people's radar because, he's pro Trump. I think that's what happened. I think that's why he went away. I don't ever remember him besides like his political views. I don't know why people kind of turned their backs on him, but he's always been pretty hilarious and really good at comedy anything that you think about him, even if you don't like the movie that he's in, excluding Psycho, which I didn't like that one because that was weird, but he's always been one of the best parts of all the movies that he's in. So
yeah, and you look at Wedding Crashers and you have Old School and Couples Retreat, like they're just three that come to mind with him. He shines. He stands out in all of them, like you said. And it was for someone who I said he was kind of distant from the limelight. I looked at his IMDb. He's been steadily acting.
It's just on a smaller scale, I guess. I don't know.
Well, he did Fighting with the Family, which was the movie about Paige. When I saw it was him and a bunch of kids, I was a little leery because. I didn't know any of these people. I didn't really know Catherine Newton. I didn't know Celeste O'Connor, Misha Oshervich. I don't know these people. So I was like, this could be great because this could be, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. This could be Stranger Things. You're going to have that level of talent. Or this could be The Kraft Legacy, where I watched it and I was like, ooh, I am way too old for this movie. And I didn't feel old during this movie.
I think the reason you don't feel old is because Vince Vaughn is our analog. You are Vince Vaughn. I mean, you're probably close to the same height as him. He's like older white male trapped in a 16-year-old girl's body or vice versa. Yeah, it's a good idea for inclusion purposes to make us feel comfortable watching a little tweener movie.
Yeah, it's smart on Blumhouse too, and the director Christopher Landon to come out and say we could have rebooted Freaky Friday, and it could have just been, Lindsay Lohan waking up in Jamie Lee Curtis's body, like we already saw, or somebody else. But they said we're going to take a classic trope and we're going to turn it into a horror movie, and they did that, and I thought the body swapping was great. The way Catherine Newton was changed from a nerdy girl who was bullied, which that was the main thing that stuck out. I don't know how that girl was constantly bullied in that school.
No. There, that was the only I don't know if it was like an intended trope, but they, all she did was she put her hair in a ponytail and wore a jacket, and everybody's like, "Oh my God, who is this?"
Boss bitch alert.
She looks exactly. She wore lipstick.
It was really weird because they made her seem like she was like this poor piece of garbage, like white trash. Like the teachers are picking on her.
Yeah,
that terrible girl Ryler. Is with an also terrible name, was picking on her. And then, it flips to where she's in Vince Vaughn's body in the bathroom stall. And they're making it out like she's some loose girl. I think they called her a cock gobbler. And I'm like, how does that translate? How does the one who's bullied by everybody, she's getting barked at, she's the teacher's hater to being some like loose little girl that's out there.
Yeah, I didn't get all that either. The thing that here's, you know, the big spoiler, Vince Vaughn's character gets swapped into her body, and then the Butcher. And then you get to see her, like, extract revenge on all these people.
Yeah.
Because they're still treating her like shit. And it's good because you want to root for people dying, but you're like, you don't want the lead actress to be compromised. So she's, you know, she gets to kill these people without, you know, it's not really her, but she's going to enjoy, you know, killing all these people in different ways. And we don't like them anyway. We want to see them get killed.
Yeah.
And, so.
And in the greatest fashion, like, the fun thing about this is there were some really unique murder scenes.
Yeah.
Starting from the beginning with that douchey party that was happening, like, the one guy gets a tennis racket stuck through his head. The other guy's swallowing a bottle, gets smashed by a toilet seat. And the main girl gets impaled by like an antler or like a spike in her house on her wall.
Yeah.
And then they take Vince Vaughn takes the enchanted dagger, and that's how, you know, he ends up stabbing Millie's character in a full moon, and the fog rolls in, and then they're transported to Aztec, you know, Aztec times, and she's on a sacrificial pillar, and then they swap. And my question during this was, do you think the deaths that Millie inflicted as the Butcher inflicted as Millie were product of circumstances because they just saw Millie and they treated her like shit? Or did the Butcher retain memories of Millie?
No, I don't think so. The way that these people are portrayed, they actively like sought out to make her day shitty. Like they had a hard on literally and figuratively in some cases. About just, you know, ruining every chance, ruining her day and shitting on her. Like real aggressively. I just think it is circumstance. It just, these are the people that are around her, and they just happen to be people that just constantly want to, like, you know, piss on her. So,
yeah. And you have Ryler. That's the first death that she starts with. Ryler makes fun of her because of her clothes, and she shops at the bargain bin, and, you know, because her, you know, she's poor because her dad died and her mom's an alcoholic and her sister's trying to keep everything together. And this girl's gone through a lot in a very short amount of time, and to come to school and be treated like a doormat, which is absolutely terrible. But she locks her in a cryo chamber, and we saw almost all the kills in the trailer. And I think that that's what kind of stuck out to me. I was like, I wonder how that girl got into the cryo tank. And we saw that, and then we went to the teacher who was karate kicking and doing jiu-jitsu. Like, back-to-back movies with more jiu-jitsu in it than jiu-jitsu the movie.
And, this teacher who, his crazy-ass mustache threw me off.
Yeah.
That was that horrible Netflix show that we watched.
We watched a lot of them.
He was like a dad, and they attack people.
Oh, in the October Faction?
Yeah. Wasn't he the dad in the October Faction?
He was not. You know who he is? It's Cameron from Ferris Bueller.
Oh, shit. It is Cameron.
It's Alan Ruck. Yeah.
All right. Weird.
Looks like he grew up and went back to school.
He was really weighed down with, you know, all that depression got to him. He turned into an asshole.
Yeah. And then he gets split in half on the saw, which was a great scene.
Yeah.
Then it went into, you know, Catherine Newton as the Butcher goes through like a series of events, luring everybody to this party. And that's where, like, if you're at the party, you can blend in. You can't find me. It's a Halloween party. 12 o'clock comes in, and Cinderella doesn't get her slipper back, and everything stays the way it is. The scene that was weird was, like, the three high school kids who were trying to pitch a gangbang.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when that happened...
It's not a gangbang as much as it is a gang rape. So That's why I was like, it's okay for them to die, you know.
Yeah, I rooted for everybody dying in this movie.
Yeah, like, I was happy.
When that guy was like, you got three holes, I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is absolutely horrible. I did not expect that line to come out of this movie. And, you know, I've seen some movies that this director has done. He's done, you know, Paranormal Activity, the Marked ones.
Yeah.
He did Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day 2. Like, this is his niche. Like, this is something that he likes. That,
like,
scene.
Campy kids horror. Campy tweener horror.
And, like, just write your own destiny. You can do whatever you want. And
can I tell you, I thought Vince Vaughn was going to kiss Booker.
Oh, so did I. Multiple times.
When they're in the back of the car, I was like, are they going to make out?
I'm watching this with Chelsea, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, these two are going to hook up. Like, when Booker got in the back of the car, and he's like, listen, I feel so safe with you. And I want, can I come to the back of the car? And I'm like, oh shit, this is happening. Like, Vince Vaughn's going to hook, like, Vince Vaughn as a little girl in a serial killer's body is going to make out with a boy. And I'm like, this is like, it threw me for a loop. And
I'm almost disappointed, like, it didn't happen, to be honest with you. Like, I felt like that was part of me too.
Yeah. I was like, it's kind of like when Sebastian in The Little Mermaid leans in and says, kiss the girl. I was just waiting for, like, one character to be, like, kiss the girl. Another scene that I thought was really great was when they have the butcher in Millie's body tied up at Josh's house. And his mom comes in. And she's like, listen, I've been flipping peanuts all day. What is going on? And he's like, this is role play, Mom. And she's like, is it a sexual thing? And Millie's in her chair. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, I need to tell you something, Mom. I wasn't ready for it, but I'm finally ready for it. I'm straight. And she's like, no, you're not. Like, she's like, I've known you've been gay for so long. Just the way that Misha Oshrovich just portrayed that role was fantastic. He was one of my favorite characters, Josh. He was so sassy.
Sassy.
Yeah, there was so much sass in this movie between him and Nyla. And it's the scene in the trailer. Again, this is a movie that kind of, even though I liked it, it kind of suffers from trailer treatment because it was given so much. When they're running through the school, which I thought was going to be at the end of the movie and was actually like 15 minutes into it, where he's like, I'm gay, you're black, we're going to die. Like, we're the first ones to go. I was like, oh, okay. I thought that was good.
Yeah, well, they had to establish, they had to hurry up and get to them being on her side for the shenanigans that happened. You know, like, it was important for shenanigans purposes to have the three of them all to be together and for some reason. So
it's weird how they all just, like, so quickly accepted body swapping. Like,
well, yeah. I
she
mean,
had to do
she
her cheerleading dance.
That's why I was like, all right, Vince Vaughn, you've won me over, when he started dancing. He had, like, without going way over to the top, he had the mannerisms of a 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
The way he really ran, the way he, you know.
He went method.
Cheers. Yeah.
He really went method for this role. And one scene that he had when – it's, again, the body swapping trope is when Millie discovered that she had a penis. And she's in the bathroom, and she's just, like, whipping it across her legs. And, like,
you
just
hear it slapping.
Like, yeah, he's 6'9", standing over this urinal, and you just hear it slapping from thigh to thigh. I thought that was hilarious. This was a fart joke movie, like, where you're running through, like, if it weren't Vince Vaughn, it would have been Seth Rogen, and I would have still loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this – I really enjoyed this movie, and I think Catherine Newton is fantastic.
Yeah, well, she is. I think she gives me hope for, you know, when we said Disney always makes the right casting. I think this was, you know, jumping back to that, I think this is going to be a good casting for them because she gets this and she seems to be having a good time. So
yeah, and this is, like we've talked about with all the Blumhouse movies, Blumhouse has a way of taking a small budget and turning it into a big game. Mm-hmm. So I think that this in 2020 COVID world, this and Tenet are pretty much neck and neck in being the most successful of 2020. $5 million estimated budget, and it made $14 million. So it's coming back positive.
That's not bad, yeah.
Not at all, right?
Yeah.
And now it's on VOD and everything like that. I heard, or I read, that Tenet had to make $400 million to break even.
Ugh.
And I think it only made $380
worldwide?
Worldwide, yeah. Because I think it was only like 58 in the States.
Okay. You know, and I hate to say this. This isn't a Tenet episode, but what I'll say about that is no one in that is going to be scrounging for cash. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That was an artistic movie by, you know, pretty fantastic, you know, director and group. So I think they'll be okay.
Yeah. I'm excited to see it again with subtitles this time.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to change my mind on the entire movie. That might be our first revisit of 2021.
Yeah.
But this is what I was talking about this with Chuck, and he said that he was hoping that Erin Furman wasn't replaced because Disney didn't have faith in her. And I'm on the opposite side. I think they did not have faith in her, and they saw that Catherine Newton was able to be successful during the pandemic and also capture that audience that they were hoping for. I feel like more young girls saw this movie because it was a young female lead, and I feel like Marvel wanted to get that for whether Cassie joins the new Avengers, if that's a series, or she becomes the new Ant-Man.
Yeah.
I think that was smart to replace Erin Furman, and she really doesn't have anything in the pipelines. Like, that was the big thing. She had nothing.
That's what I think it was, is, you know, she has time to mature. Oh, Cassie does.
Yeah.
The character. She has time to mature and time to get older and time to for her to look to, you know, in your brain to say, okay, well, she's going to, as she gets older, she's going to change. And they've decided, well, we're going to steer away from the character on the screen. And they went a different direction. And I think what it was is exactly what you said is, you know, at that point when they're ready to cast that movie, who's working? Who's bringing, you know, putting
butts in seats?
Who's doing that? Yeah. And who's got a fan base? And I think Catherine Newton has a... It looks like she has a bigger fan base or has potential to have a bigger fan base.
Yeah, when I heard that she was casted, I thought I recognized the face. I didn't recognize the name whatsoever. And it wasn't until this episode, and that goes to show that I didn't do that much research. I was just reacting. She's been in a lot of stuff lately. She's in Big Little Lies, which is a huge Golden Globe award-winning series from HBO. She was in The Society on Netflix. She was in Blockers. She was in Supernatural. She was in Halt and Catch Fire, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Lady Bird. Like, these are all movies that were, you know, Bad Teacher, Mad Men. She was in that. But what sticks out, and I'm surprised that I didn't recognize her, she was in Pokemon Detective Pikachu. She was the other, she was the female lead that had Psyduck.
Oh, really?
That's the reporter, Lucy Stevens.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And now I'm super disappointed that I didn't know that. So it makes more sense in my argument that she brings butts to seats, or she's going to get more subscribers because people know her.
Yeah, yeah.
And Erin Furman did one episode of, like, Chicago Fire, and that's not no discredit to her. Like, keep working, but they just replaced you for somebody who has a little more fan base.
Yeah.
What do you think this is on Rotten Tomatoes?
Rotten Tomatoes, 67. I'm going to go 67.
67. Okay. It's only got the critics score. It's crazy that there's no audience scores. This movie's been out for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's 83%.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So if you can get a certified fresh movie in COVID times 2020, I think you deserve something. And I don't know this. I don't think that this is going to win any awards, but it could. I mean, there's been eight movies released in theaters this year. One of them was Bloodshot. The other one was Harley Quinn. The other one's New Mutants. You have this and Tenet. So this could rival Tenet for Best Picture of 2020.
Well, I you know, to be fair to all those movies and the other movies, they haven't said it yet, but do we know how they're going to address the Academy? Like, are they going to they have to have some type of release in theaters, correct?
That's how they've
done it in the past.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to be able to do that now.
No.
Right?
It's going to be very limited. Like, Wonder Woman can't compete, so you're looking at, like, I don't know if it's U.S. release or if it's, like, international release, because then you could have Mulan can be released out there, Onward, these type of movies. But I feel like everybody who made a movie this year should get a participation trophy.
Yeah.
And that's it. We all get participation trophies and the Oscars or, start
or
next
expanded
year.
And see, I wonder if they're reticent in saying, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to expand into the streamiverse, because once you do it for 1 year, you're not going to be able to, like, really can't take it back. There's no reason not to do it for the rest. I don't know why they don't do it anyway for streaming. So
I think next year is when we see that, given what Warner Brothers did and how many movies that are going to not be going to theaters and are sticking to streaming. Did you see what Denis Villeneuve said about Dune? And so Legendary is thinking about suing Warner Brothers. Because they were the production company that came out and said, you know, we put a lot of work into this. We don't agree with this. We were blindsided by this decision. So they were going to sue him. So Denny comes out and says, this could ruin the trilogy. Because it's going on streaming.
Dune's so big. It needs theater. I don't know. That's for this. This is unique. Nobody's going to go see it in the theaters if they put it in the theaters. You know what I mean?
I might risk it. I think I have to see. I have to see all Jason Momoa movies in the theaters.
Yeah, you're gonna have to, like, get in your body condom that you wear anyway.
I'm gonna get in Chelsea's Halloween costume, that T-Rex suit. And I'll just sit in the front row.
I don't think you'll be the only one. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I think it is big enough. It is a theater movie, but I don't know.
I actually disagree with him. I don't think that this ruins the chances of the trilogy. If anything, this is going to bolster the trilogy. It might cut the budget a little bit because they don't have enough money to, like, they didn't make enough money on the release to recoup, but I feel like that this could bolster it and make the series even more popular because more people are going to have a chance to see this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make any money. Like, if they put in, are they're definitely not going to make. They might. I mean, if Tenet did what it did, I don't know. I don't know the budget for Dune, but it's got to be gigantic.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And for it to cover all its budget, it's got to. But this is a good, you know, it's a Christmas movie. Maybe.
Well, it's October now.
Okay.
October 2021, which makes me think, like, maybe the world comes out of this hellscape that it's in.
Yeah.
By summer, and Warner Brothers can be like, okay, you know what? We're gonna put Dune in theaters.
And here's the thing: is in 3 months, who's to say that Warner Brothers doesn't go, all right, well, we're done with that.
Yeah.
There's no they don't sign contracts that say, well, we have to do these two things. They're just saying that's what they're going to do. That's their COVID plan. It sucks for, you know, theaters and it sucks for production companies, but that's their COVID plan. That's their plan to get people watching. So in 3 months, after, you know, hopefully we're trending in a different direction, maybe they go, okay, well, that was fun. Now let's go back to theaters for everything, you know?
Yeah, and they own HBO Max. So it's not like they had to sell it to Netflix and they have their contracts. They can be like, listen, we'll release it on HBO Max before it goes to VOD, but what we're going to do, or we'll, you know, we'll just put it in theaters and you guys can wait and we'll see where we go from there. Dune has an estimated budget of $165 million. Oof. And that's before marketing and advertising.
Right.
They better get those toys out quick. Those Funko Pops, they better get them all out to recoup that money. But let's get back to Freaky as we wrap up the episode. Overall, did you like the movie?
I did. I liked it more than I thought I would. Again, another movie where I'm saying that. But I think it did things. It showed you tropes, like your characters that fit these certain slots. And it was looking to be your average run-of-the-mill slasher in a high school. Like, you know, one of the characters named Strode. So it's like, it's almost, I thought it was just like trying to be an homage to these things that they like. And yeah. It, but I think that was all very intentional. Like, I think it was, you know, intentionally kind of filling in all these spots on these tropes. And then it went in a completely different direction. And then, like, there were some graphic kills and kind of very gory, but they weren't, like, I think they were afterthoughts more so, but it was kind of the comedy of the two, of Vince Vaughn and the girl, you know, trying to, like, figure out their new situations. And I thought it was funny. So it was different. And I thought it was a good time to watch. So.
Yeah, same here. Different is good as long as the production as well. We've watched Jiu-Jitsu. That was different. But that was crap. I'm currently paused on a movie starring Joe Manganiello called Arch Enemy. And it's superhero based. It's different, but I don't know where I sit with it. With this, I knew where I sat with it. I laughed during it, especially mm-hmm. during the scene where Vince Vaughn is in the dressing room and getting a date with his mom.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that there's like a there's your psycho kind of similar or analogy.
Yeah.
But that the Aaron Rodgers mask that he had to wear throughout the city, I thought that was great. The fight between the sisters, I thought all that stuff was really good. It made me laugh. It showed more in the trailer than I would have liked, but what it didn't show in the trailer made up for the spoils.
100%. You know, I don't, for these purposes of us doing what we do, I don't really, unless it's huge, I don't really look at trailers.
I'm gonna have to stop doing that.
Unless it's like a scheduled thing for us to like, oh, did you see that trailer of this huge giant thing that's going to change cinema? But otherwise, I just don't watch it. So, and I have benefited huge from not watching trailers because so many movies give too much away. Warner Brothers is first amongst all those production companies. So,
yeah, Warner Brothers gives you everything but the sneaker scene.
Yeah. It's
like every time Wonder Woman is on my television, I turn it off. Like, you're going to show me what Cheetah looks like. You're going to show me that Pedro Pascal is actually not Maxwell Lord and he's Darkseid or something crazy like that. I just turn it off. Overall, I'm going to give this a 4. Okay. I thought this was good and I could see a sequel.
Yeah. Or a sequel or even like some kind of series. Almost there is a glaring, once Sabrina goes away, there's going to be that dark teenage comedy horror kind of thing. They had a few of these high school horror comedies going on at one time, and then they're all kind of disappeared, maybe for a reason, but a lot of that's going to, you know, there's going to be kind of a void in like, let's say, Netflix's landscape or a lot of other places. So maybe they can come out with a series.
And Sabrina's done this year. Supernatural just ended. And at the end of the movie, when Millie actually kills the butcher, you know, she becomes this badass. She's got blood on her hands. So it's one of, you know, it's definitely set up for
that
a series.
Make you think of Buffy when she did that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. As soon as I saw, I was like, I bet Jim got a little tingle downstairs for Buffy when she did that.
I was super excited, man. I'm looking forward to this. Maybe she's the reboot of Buffy.
You know, that's not it. It's a different story, but yeah, it'd be good.
But like, this doesn't go into a sequel or a series, and they're already talking about rebooting Buffy. They just probably have to pay Josh Whedon royalties, and they can make this, and there you go. Or she becomes a serial killer hunter, and she goes out there and stabs everybody with broomsticks. Oh.
Yeah, she has like a crossover with the new Dexter that's coming.
Yeah, it's like his accomplice. So what did you give this?
I'm going to give it a 3.5. I thought it's really fun. A lot of fun to watch, and surprisingly more fun than I thought it was going to be.
Same. That was a good one. Well, that's it, man. We're going to get out of here.
Well, real quick.
Sure.
For this time, we'll really only do a Mando minute.
Yeah.
We didn't do any Mando talk. How much did you like the polished up Mando Fett armor?
Well, I feel like they need to give credit to Mako because they worked wonders. I really enjoyed Boba Fett's. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I think his look is screaming. He's a regular.
Yeah.
From now on,
especially when they didn't announce a series.
Yeah, well, that he's on. They're flying in his ship.
Yeah,
he's got like a debt, and you know how Star Wars is with their debts. Their life debts, and he polished up that armor. I was like, that armor looks real badass with that black robe.
Yep.
So,
I love the robe. Like he didn't go and like get like leggings or tights or anything. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna free ball it, and I'm just gonna do what I do. I'll
also say that Bill Burr is surprisingly a good actor.
Yes, that was exactly where I was going to. I've never felt heart for Bill Burr. Until this episode. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay, Bill.
Yeah. He's surprisingly really good at what he does. I mean, the moment where he loses his cool is a Bill Burr thing. Like, that's him. Mm-hmm. Like, but all that leading up to it and kind of after is surprisingly, I don't know where that came from.
Yeah.
And especially considering he hates Star Wars and I guess he had something to prove.
I think he's going to start cashing Star Wars checks because he might end up going to that Cara Dune series if that's what it is. Because she let him go.
Yeah.
And there was like some weird flirting between those two during the episode. So maybe that's the new Rey and Finn, Rey and Kylo. That's the love triangle that everybody's hoping for. But I don't know, man. So I'm excited for that. We got one episode left. It's going to be huge. And that'll be our episode next week. We're going to talk a full episode of Mando All Minutes because it's the finale. And then we can talk about season 3. It's coming out on Christmas of 2021, season 3. So we've got a full year to talk about it. And then we'll go from there. We got Wonder Woman. We got a bunch of stuff. Monster Hunter comes out on Friday. I know everybody's pumped for the new Mila Jovovich vehicle. I'll be calling out of work to go see that. I'll report live next week. But that's it, man. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back next week with Mando, with The Mandalorian Season 2 finale episode. And follow us on social media, the Galaxy Wars Podcast. Support Active Geek. We're going to be back on Wednesday. You can go back and listen to our previous episode that was released on Saturday, or released today on Sunday. We'll be back. Here's $20. Buy yourself something nice.